The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf, the second Brachot is Daf Chof Dalet, and we've gotten up to the top line. We were discussing what to do with the tefillin in order to keep them safe at night. And we said in the end that even though the Braita made it seem that there was a Tiyuft of Shmuel, and that it should not be correct to put it beneath your pillow, we in the end determined to follow Shmuel, despite that, because if it's always better to do something that is a Shmira, that's really, because in the end that outweighs considerations of dignity, because after all, the biggest dignity of all, essentially, is to make sure they don't get stolen and thrown into some kind of garbage can. Anyway, Heichamanachlo continues the Gemara today in the middle of the first line. So if you're going to put it beneath your pillow, where exactly would you put it between? Underneath your head directly or what? Om Reb Yirmiya ben Karla Keset. It means you put it between the pillow and the sheet, but what they call the mattress was essentially what we would call like a sleeping mat or sleeping pad is the Keset. Shalom Keneged Rosho, but not directly beneath your head. Don't put your head on the tefillin. Votani Reb Yechia Minichan Bekova Tachat Mirashotav. He said, Reb Yechia, that you put them in the container of the tefillin, which calls you their hat, so to speak, beneath your head. Mashma, that you actually put your head on it. Yes, you do. You put your head on the tefillin tik. So the bafikle, the mur shalakova levar. You have the edge of the tik of the tefillin, that you have sticking out. And that indeed is not directly beneath your head. That is sticking out on the other side. But this way it's very good. If somebody tries to slip it out from under your head, you're going to move your head, and because it's all part of the same container. Bar Kapara Tzayer Lo Mikilta. Bar Kapara, he would actually put his tefillin in the kila. The kila was like a canopy bed without a canopy hanging over the bed. Umafik Lumur Shahon Levar. But he would have the actual place where the tefillin themselves are sticking out, that he would put not towards the bed, but towards the other side. Rav Shisha Beredin of Edi, Manachu Ashar Shifa, he would put them on a little stool near the bed, Uporis Sudra Iluya, and he would spread out a small Sudra, which is a small size of a small place mat, which you put around your head, over it. I was once actually studying with Rava, and he says to me, go bring my tefillin, will you? So I go, and I found his tefillin indeed between the pillow and the mattress, but it was not where I saw the indentation of his head. And I happened to have known for a fact that it was a Yom Tefillah. I know that it was a night, that it was the morning after his wife had gone to the mikveh. So obviously he had slept with his wife despite the fact that the tefillin were there. And the reason he sent me specifically is in order that I should learn the halacha lemaaseh, who the he wanted me to know that indeed that's how we passed it. That as we said before, afilu yishto imo, even though the Braita was against it and so on, that we end up passing like Shmuel. By the way, this is like one of the many mikorot in the Gemara, that there are times when the Amoraim simply ignore Braitot. And the question is why. So some say in these cases maybe they discovered that there was a reason to be mishabesh the Braita. There was another Braita that they were going according to. Personally, I don't think that's the meaning at all. It says that basically, as the Kesef Mishnah explains, the idea of the Amoraim accepting the Braitot is just a acceptance. There's no reason why you have to listen to a Braita. Anybody has a right to argue on anybody else. There's no such thing as, it's just that you're stupid if you do, because generally speaking, it's been shown so many times that your Svara breaks down in the presence of the greater Svara of the Tanoia, but there's nothing wrong with arguing. In a case where you're convinced that, you know, that it's wrong and you're right, so you could pass it against it. There's nothing that is innately wrong with passing against the Braita. So in those cases, some want to say in different cases, like the Gemara says, Rav Tanu Vapolik, so maybe Rav Yochanan is a Tanu Vapolik, but the truth is, you don't have to come on to that. This is the Brisker Rav also was reported by in the Kovach Yurim. There's nothing innately wrong with it. It's just a haskama, basically. It's a, continues. Bolni Rav Yosef Bar Yehuda Rav Nechunya Mirav Yehuda. Shnayim sheyishanim b'mita achat. Mao sheze yachzir panav v'hikra kriyat shema, v'ze yachzir panav v'hikra kriyat shema. Now you have to realize, you have to let go of your Western sensitivities for all of this and realize that the people's relationship to the flesh was a lot different once upon a time, and so were the actual logistics in which people would basically sleep in one room homes, or whole families would sleep in one room homes. You could have like five people sleep together in one bed. They did not wear pajamas in those days, and therefore there's always some type of contact. Now the question is whether that contact is considered to be a sexual hit-or-rud on some level, and therefore it's inappropriate for Kriyat Shema. And the question over here is it sufficient to simply turn your heads to opposite directions so your genitals are at least not in contact with the other person and to say Kriyat Shema? So that's the shaila. Can I simply turn to the other side or not? Well, you can do that, and it's even with your wife in the bed. Not your brother, I understand what you mean, even with your wife. Your wife is just like an extension of yourself. You don't even notice her. The klal is that your wife is just like an extension of your own body. But if you have somebody else in the bed with you, so then you're more likely to be sexually inclined, not less likely. So I disagree. So I hold that you'd have to be more marked than other people. It says beferish in the Braita that two, meaning any two people that are together in one bed, can simply turn to other directions and be kore. Vitanya Akritin is another Braita that says, now Yoshin Bimita, somebody who's sleeping in a bed with his kids with him, Banav, Benebetobitsido, he's not allowed to say Kriyat Shema, Elim Kenata Talit Mavsekit. But how do you explain this? Here it says there needs to be something, some material between you. You can't just turn your head to the other side. If, on the other hand, if the children were young, and we'll see how young is young in terms of this issue, then it would be okay. So now, I understand, according to Rav Yosef, who said, well, a wife is one thing, but other people are another thing, so then I could answer it, then maybe, assuming that bride, even though the bride didn't say so, but maybe the bride that was matir being matzer ponav was only his wife, and his wife is used to, and somebody else is usher. But according to Shmuel, there's no difference between his wife and somebody else. In contrast, he said even his wife. So then how do you explain the contradiction in the bride thought? Amar Shmuel, come on, it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yosef. It's not true. Rabbi Yosef be necha? It says, oh, yo, you're shen b'mita, banav v'nei b'ta b'mita. Lo yikra kriyat shema. That includes anybody in his house, including his wife. So even according to Rabbi Yosef, it doesn't make sense. So what are you going to say? You're going to have to admit that these braitot are essentially a machloket anayim, even according to Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef, you're going to limit the machloket specifically to his wife. So, yeah, because Rabbi Yosef is telling you everybody agrees anybody else is also fine. But what do you do with the fact that one is matzer's wife? And one isn't. How do you explain that? Must be that it's Tanoi. So I'll also say the same thing. I hold there's no difference, wife or anybody else. And he holds, the other Braita says that there is. I'm going like this, Mandi Omar, that's all. You're saying you could simply turn the other direction. But Lamaisa, your buttocks are in contact with each other. So why isn't that considered to be, on some level, sexually stimulating? This proves, there's no issue of genital contact when it comes to buttocks. Can we bring a riot to Rav Huna from the Mishnah of Aisha Yoshevet V'Kotzala Chalata Aruma? A woman has no problem in being taking off challah from the dough while she's stark naked. Why? Because she can still make a bracha. After all, her genitals are not exposed if she's sitting, whereas a male is going to have a rough time covering his genitals by sitting. A male would have to be at least wearing underpants or something in order to make a bracha. But you see over here that despite the fact that even if she's sitting on the ground, her buttocks are exposed, and if you're going to tell me that that's considered to be erva, so that it should be us to make a bracha when you're naked. It must be that that's not called naked. Could be talking about over there where you have enough of a give in the karka. There's a little bit of sand or something. Or she's sitting in such a way that she's covering her buttocks also. This, by the way, is so interesting that in Yiddish, you always have a rear end is called a tuchus. and this is tuchos bekarka, that the idea over there is that not exposing your buttocks is tuchos bekarka. I mean, it's a poshut shas, it's tachat, and you know, it's just a Yiddish type of mispronunciation. But you often find this, that they will select, I don't know if you know, anybody does it on purpose, but it just works out this way, that you'll select an unbelievable insight from the Gemara Chazal, and so on, that becomes the word which is the nikius word of the concept. Now, you said that if the children are young, so then there's no issue of sexual contact for Kriyat Shema. That comma. Well, a girl would have to be is already not young, because these are shiurim in which intercourse is possible. Once intercourse is possible, halakhically, so then already there is some sexual contact. The tinok and a male would be bentesha shanim v'yom echa. Again, this is also another Western orientation that you're going to have to drop, and that is, there's no difference between the sexes at all. It doesn't matter if you're in bed with a male or a female. Igri amri, others learn, no, it would have to be old enough to at least be close to puberty. So tinoket bat yud alef shanav yom echad, and the tinok ben shnei mitzvei shanav yom echad. So it has to be within the year of puberty. And inividi ad kedei shadayim dechonu misarech tzimeach, which the psak halacha is that as long as they are within the time that they would generally be getting their pubic hair or getting their breasts developed, even if this particular child is not. But as Rashi says, there's already sexual suggestiveness. So the male turns a person on to be with somebody that is at least sexually approachable. Omer le Rav Gadol Rav Ashi. Ata mama Rava. Did we not just say, Rav said that even though we showed Shmuel to be wrong, but nonetheless, Hilchot HaKavata de Shmuel, we still said that, you know what, the Tiruta was better, we should paskin like Shmuel anyway. Would you say that we should paskin like Shmuel here too, even though we went through this business with the Breitot and Rav Yosef? Should we paskin like Shmuel also? So, Hachamai, Omalei, I understand. What about the Kula Bechada Machata Mach? You know, I understand. Everything is supposed to fit into the same weave? What does one have to do with the other? If I tell you that we paskin, the bottom line is that people are paskin this way, fine, if not. Omalei Rav Moyle Rav Papa. How about Sar Yotzei Bibigdilma? How about if pubic hair is exposed? Koyle Sar, hair, who cares about hair? Omrev Yitzhak, Tefach B'Yisha Erva. A single tefach on a woman that is normally covered is considered to be erva. Erva for what? Lamai. I mean, what, to look at her for sexual pleasure? I mean, what do I need a tefach? Omrev Sheshes, Lama Manaka Tuf Takshitim Shebachutz, Im Takshitim Shebifnim. We find that in the story when they went out to fight Benot Midian, so when they came back, it says that they brought all kinds of things. Or the things that they brought, you know, bracelets and earrings and kumazes. Now, kumaz, the Gemara says, "Else was kan makom zima." These are actual either chastity belts or they're designs that are worn around the vagina. I mean, that's awfully different than an earring. Wouldn't you think? Or just throw them all together. So why does the Torah throw them all together? To tell you, it really doesn't make any difference. I don't care. You're looking at a woman's ring, supposedly, really admiring the contours of her finger. And it doesn't matter if you're going to be stuck with Torah. You could be looking right at her nakedness. It would be exactly the same thing. So that can't be. What do we need a tefach for? Ela, what it's got to be talked about is where there's no sexual issue involved. Talk about the ishto. It's his own wife. But the point over here is the Kriyat Shema cannot be exposed to Erev, as we'll see later on, from the Pasuk, or Ebechai Erev HaTavar. So what constitutes that? That's Ishir of a Tefach. Omer Chista Shok B'Isha Erev. You talk about an Eshet Ish, something that is generally not covered, so even her thighs would be considered to be an Erev Shenema. And that's the Pasuk itself calls it. And it says Gali Shok Ivri Naharot. And then it says, Beferish, right after that this is Tigal Ervatech, Gamtera Echerpatech. So that means that you're exposing yourself in this fashion. Now, Mar Shmuel, Kol B'Isha Erva. Even singing of a woman is Erva, Shenamar, Kikolech Arev, Umarech Naveh. So you can't say Kriyat Shema if someone is singing. Amar Sheshet Sar B'Isha Erva. Hair that is normally covered is considered to be Erva Tzav, Sharasarich, Geder Aizim. So if Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about the beauty of this woman's hair, so obviously that's got to be an extremely attractive part of the description of the rest of her body. Om Rebbe Chanina, Ani Raiti et Rebbe Shetala Tefillah. Getting back to the game of Tefillah, I saw Rebbe hang up his tefillah. What? Maybe. Doesn't it say in the Braita, Tolet Tefillah, Yitulul Chayav? Somebody wants to hang his tefillah and can hang his life. He puts his life also as a suffix. Dor shechamurot amru. Those who are dorish, chamurot, achamurot, means things that are interrelated. So we come in chomer. To be dorish, to come in chomer is a knot that you tie to hold perfume in. It says, vayucha yecha teluyim lachaminegem l'tochacha. Your life will be hanging in front of your eyes. This is a reference to somebody who hangs his tefillin, which includes in it the yanim of chiyus, etchayim ki yucha yecha. So how could Rabbi have done that? Lo gasha b'ritzua b'ktitza. Depends, obviously. What was hanging? If you're tola the tefillin on the ritzuas of the tefillin, and then the goof of the tefillin itself, the ktitza of the tola, the parsha, is hanging, that's a terrible bizonia. If you have the ktitza that is on a shelf, and the ritzuas are hanging down, that's okay. That's all that he saw with Rebbe, and that's what he's reporting. As long as the ktitza is treated in such a way that it's permanently there, the rest can hang. But don't hang the ktitza. V'boyet ema, or the truth is, it could be even that's not there for us. Maybe loshna ritzua, loshna ktitza, both would be also. Rebbe hung his tefillin in the tefillin zekel. So all he did is, there was a hook, and he had a little thing on the edge of the tefillin kis, and he put it there. So the what's the chiddush? What do you mean what's the chiddush? Would you hang a sefer Torah that way? No. You need to be minyan a sefer Torah. So I would have thought that maybe tefillin is the same thing. That a tick of the tefillin, the normal way of being shemeret, the mechubad way of being shemeret, would be to hang it. I also saw other things. I saw that Rebbe once was migahek, and once he was Mrs. Piheg, and once he was Mitatesh, so he burped once, and he yawned once, and he sneezed once, and he was rock, he spit, and he was Mamashmish, but big no, he straightened out his talit. But I mean, if his talit fell off, lo ayah Mitatesh, I saw that his talit once fell off, and he wouldn't put it back on again in the middle of davening. And I also saw Keshub Faik, when he yawned, he would put his hand on his chin to cover his mouth. Midiach Yado al Santero. Asks the Gemara, how could it possibly be that Rebbe did these things? Meitve, Hamashmiya Kolo B'Tfilato. There's a whole list in the Braita of things that are inappropriate for Tfilah. So some people like to scream during davening. Some people like to daven very loud and drive everybody crazy around. And so Hamashmiya Kolo B'Tfilato, somebody whose voice can be heard in this Tfilah, is clearly miktanei emuna. What does he think? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer your tefillos unless you can make a lot of noise. Yeah, could be. That's what tefillah is. What do you think tefillah is? That's not tefillah. Tefillah is by definition Shmon Ezra.
Exactly. I'm saying.
But of course. I never said anything about the rest. I talked about tefillah like the Gemara does.
Why should it apply?
And somebody who literally raises his voice, that's like the Nevi'e Sheker, because that's what they did for the Baal. Hello, Baal, I'm Enu. You know? And if he's Megahek, and if I hate somebody who burps or he yawns, he's Megase Aruach. You tell me, Rebbe, did somebody's Megase Aruach? Hamitatesh betvilator, if he sneezes, it's a Simen Ralo. You could tell that this is really a slob. Harak betvilato. And Rebbe did all of these things. Harak betvilato. Somebody spits. It's like spitting in front of a king. You spit in front of the king? So I can work out for myself. Megahek and mefahek. Okay, I can. Obviously, there are times where your body just burps. It's not up to you. Or you yawn and can't control it. So kan lo so. Maybe Rebbe was lo so. Kan lirit so no is megasi aruach. But mitatesh, amitatesh, we're over there. We're not going to make, we don't make the chilek. It's a simen ralo. You're telling me that Rebbe, he saw things in Rebbe's tefillah? That was a simen ra? Kasha? No, it's not kasha. Mitatesha, mitatesha, I know kasha. You know, it depends where the air is coming from. If it's coming from the top, it's okay. If it's coming from the bottom, that sure ain't a simen yafet. So that was the difference. If all that Rebbe did was sneeze. The Yom Rebbe Zera, Ham Yota, Yibili Beir of Amnuna. V'takila lekikula tamadai. Rebbe Zera suffered from allergies. He says, I swallowed this whole. And Rebbe Amnuna's Beis HaMedrash, I'm telling you, it made me happier than everything else I ever learned. Hamitatesh betvilato siman yafelo. Somebody who sneezes in the middle of davening is a good sign. What's a good sign? You really feel like you need to sneeze. Right? Oh, I need to sneeze. Kishem shal simlo nachat ruach melamata, kakos simlo nachat ruach melamala. It means that HaKadosh Baruch was interested in the guy being happy. You know, get a good sneeze out there. But okay, so that's what he was talking about, Rebbe. It was a simen yafelo, it wasn't a simen ra. But spitting, how do you explain the spitting? Kilo ruach b'fnei hamalach. Kasha. Because it could be that what happened with Rebbe is that it was done in a very discreet fashion. Look, sometimes it happens, a person just coughs a little and it gets some mucus in his mouth. What's it supposed to do? Mavmiyon betalito. You should just sort of absorb it as talit. Of course, if it's a nice talit, you don't want to do that. So then, mavlio biafar kasuto. You can always, you know, everybody wears these ugly hats. I mean, use your hat for that. That's a good thing. Okay, yeah, but it's not actually clear about chlokas what an afar kasuto is. Many learn that it's a turban. But the oruch stratus is your undershirt. So it does your trunk top to make it anyway. It's meant as a sweat bed. Ravina, Ravina is davening in front, behind Ravash. And his dami larok zaru vashi had a problem getting rid of some spit, and patke leakore, and he took it in his hand and he just sort of threw it behind him. Is there something wrong with Rav Yehuda's psalm? Yes, for people like me, I am a little bit more sensitive than that. I don't put spit on my clothes. This is only if he's able to concentrate on his words when he whispers them. Now, the question of what lachash means is a machloket. Obviously, we have four different dargot here. We have thinking without moving your lips. We have moving your lips without making a sound. We have making a sound, but too low for you even to hear yourself. And we have speaking aloud, which even somebody else would be able to hear. So there's a machloket, there's even a shita, the Magen Avraham, that even though we paskin that hearer is laf kedibur, but since the main point of tefillah is aveda shebelev, there's no din specifically of dibur. He paskin say you would be yotzi even if you didn't move your lips. Okay, most don't paskin like that. The Magen Avraham. Serious psak, obviously, but lamaisa most paskin, not like that Mishnah paskin, not like that. But the question of whether you're supposed to at least make sound that you could hear yourself, that's already a question. Those who hold that you're supposed to make at least that amount of sound, not just move your lips. Okay, again, these are machlokes, and it's best. The psak is that it's best, the chatchila, to be able to hear at least yourself what it is that you're saying. But all of this that we say, if you cannot be mechaveh libo, so then balakash, you're allowed to make noise. That's only if you're alone. But if you're with other people, you're going to bother the people around you, as we well know. Now, Rav Abba was very careful never to walk into the Beit Midrash when Rav Yehuda was around, because he didn't want Rav Yehuda to see him, because he was planning on making Aliyah, and Rav Yehuda was a member of the Terekarta. And he did not want Rav Yehuda to find out that he was planning on making Aliyah. So he was mishtamet b'nei de Rav Yehuda, because he wanted to have a kabbalah mesik lara the Yisrael. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Yehuda paskin, that kol ha'olem b'bavel Eretz Yisrael over baseh. If you leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're doing an Yisraseh, shedema, bavela yuvahu, v'shama yiyu ad yom pokriyotam nu mashem. So until God takes you out of Bavel, that's where you got to stay.
Within Bavel or everywhere?
No, Bavel specifically. That the Lashon HaRam is Geshem Sha'asr Latzit Me'aretz Yisrael Sha'ar Ratzot Kach Asr Latzit Me'Bavel. Alright, so anyway, so before, then he was about to leave. He says, well, I'm going to leave without like even hearing one last good word from Rav Yehuda. I'll go and stand outside the window or something, you know. So, Ezel Veshmamine Milto Be'Beit Vada, Vada off, then I'll leave. Anyway, so he comes outside, he's Ozel Ashker Latana Dektonika Made Rav Yehuda. So if this guy was suffering from flatulence, and indeed he was mitatesh bilamata, so then what does he do? Mamtina jichalei ruach has to wait until the foul-smelling air passes. V'chozer mitpalel, and he goes back to continue davening. The Igani Amri, others say, ha'yomeid b'tfilo bikesh li'itatesh, he felt that he cannot control himself, and he needed to release gas. Now, from here, it's mashmal. He did this way with pasta. It's not the same thing as needing to go to the bathroom. One of the issues over there, of course, was that you need to go to the bathroom. You're like a walking toilet. But when it comes to flatulence, that's just a question of reyach, not a question of actual tzoah. And therefore, what does he do if he sees he's not going to be able to continue davening? He steps backwards 4 amot from the place where he was praying.
umitatesh, umamtinachi chalal ruach. And then he goes back and he davens, but since he's already interrupted Shmoneh Esrei, he says the following nusach. Ribono shel olam, yitzarkanu nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim, galui v'yadua lefanecha, cherpatenu uchlimatenu bechayenu. You know, we're not worth very much, even when we're alive. Uba'akritenu rima v'toleya. So don't be upset with us that we have these very earthy limitations. And he now begins, continues his tefillah from the place where he had left off. Omar, so he said, oh, am I happy. If I'd only come just for this is great. I mean, this is like a very important psak halacha. What's amazing is that nobody does this psak halacha. And that's indeed tremendous question as to why in the world this is not nahu. And actually, they asked the Trumat and the Ramah brings
it. Without tefillin.
Huh? No, of course not. The Trumat HaTesh was asked, why is it not Nahu? He says, I have no idea. Because it's Ramash did it the Gemara, it's a Nusach, but they were Koveya. How come this is not done? He said, maybe because now it's become so nafutz that people daven Betzibur, it would be too embarrassing. And maybe Kovet HaBriyah is more kosher. We see somebody walk away in the middle of his tefillah, that's embarrassing. But he says, I don't really know. I don't think that's an excuse. But Lamai said that is a meaning that we don't say the Ramah actually brings that. Without any time, it's become the meaning not to do this. What's that?
That wouldn't even work, Biyafet.
Right, exactly. The meaning is not to do it at all. Tana Rabbana, Haya Yershin Betalito. Now, how about if a guy is wrapped up in his sleeping bag, and it is freezing outside? Ooh, it's cold out there. Ve'ino Yakolo Tziyat Roshon Mipnei Atzina. He cannot let his head out of that sleeping bag. It's too cold. And he's, what does he do? He's got to say Kriyat Shema. What does he do? So what he should do is chotzeitz betalitot tzavaro. So press the sleeping bag across your neck so that there is a break between your head and your genitals. And read Kriyat Shema. Yesh omrim, others say, no, it's got to be that you press the sleeping bag across beneath your heart and your genitals. Because otherwise it will be a problem of liboro et arva, and you're supposed to actually not have the same rishus. Your heart, which is where you're being mechavik for Kriyat Shema, so to speak, and your genitals. For Tana Kama, how does the Tana Kama explain that you make a hefsek on your neck? Hare liboro et arva. The Tana Kama holds liboro et arva mutar. If you are walking by, you're walking through the Arab shul, and there's filth in the streets. Miniach yado al piv. You put your hand over your mouth. Vekorei Kriyat Shema. Omele Rav Kista, I swear to God, if Rabbi Yochanan had said this to me directly, I wouldn't listen to him. Lo tzaitino, this is ridiculous. You're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema under those circumstances. And I wouldn't accept it from him directly, certainly not from you quoting him. Yigri Amri Amar Abba Barachana, quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, same thing. Hayam Alech Mevavot HaBetun HaFot, Miniach Yadu HaPi V'Korek Kriyat Shema. And in this version, Rav Kista said that about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He said, I swear to God, Imam Reli Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but Pumei Lo tzaitino, I wouldn't listen to him. But wait a minute.
It's
Osir. Umiyomer Ravuna. Wait a minute. Ravuna paskin this? Didn't Ravuna say that a Talmid Chacham is a sur lamod b'mokom hatinofet, is not allowed to stand in a place where there's dirt around that would prevent him from learning? A Talmid Chacham, what's he supposed to do? He is unable to control himself from thinking and learning. That's the only thing in his mind. So it's like telling him, don't think about elephants. Now, what else is he going to think about? So there's nothing he can do about it. So he cannot pass through these places. He can't stand in a place like that. Oh, yeah, okay, he says, can't stand. What about standing? We're talking about walking, right? He said, if you're walking through the shuk, that's all the Ravuna said. He didn't say, if you're standing in the shuk. So, okay, she can't go make kambam aleph. Okay, but I mean, he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold that. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mi Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Bechol makom mutar la'aner b'divrei Torah. You can think about learning anywhere at all, unless you're in a Beit HaBerchatz or in a Beit HaKiseh. Obviously, that's because this is places where there's something filthy. V'chi teimah hakanam, you try to give me the same answer. That's talking about where you're sitting there or standing there, and I'm talking about walking through the shuk. So hakanam kambo meit kambo maale b'maalach, but that's not true. Amy, there was an actual event where Rabbi Abahu was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan in the shuk. Now, as about Rabbi Yochanan, Kimata b'mavaota metunafot ishtik. And when he came to dirty places, he stopped saying Kriya Shema. Then when they got out, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, so, okay, what do I do now? Do I have to go back to the beginning, or I continue from where I stopped? So where should I go back to? So he told him, if it's taken you so long to get away from the dirty area that you could have finished the entire Kriyat Shema, you have to start all over again. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan held that you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema. No, why does that mean that? He's answering his question. It could well be that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, look, I mean, personally, I don't think that you should have stopped saying Kriyat Shema because you were walking. But, I mean, you all that you did, and you did. So, then I'm just answering your question as you asked it. So, we can't prove from here that Rabbi Yochanan did not hold of what Ravuna claimed he held. Tanya Gabbati Ravuna. In fact, we have a bright like Ravuna that it's mutter. If you put your finger, your hand in front of your face and cover your mouth. And we have a bright like Rabbi Chisidah Tosser. And we have a Tanakh about Rabbi Yonas Chista. Not only that, but Lord, even if you're in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema and you suddenly get to an area like that, you're still posek. And what if you wouldn't be? Lo pasak mai, according to this writer. Omra May Shabar Bered Rabbi Yeshur Ben Levi Allah V'Katuv Omer V'Gam Ani Natati Lahem Chukim Lo Tovim U'Mishpatim Lo Yechiyu Behem. But you think doing a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah in a way that's like this, that's a bizoyin, and this is supposed to be V'Chai Behem. The way they relate to my mitzvahs, I gave them Chukim U'Mishpatim for them to die over. Rabbi Omer, this the pasuk is referring to, it says, "Oy moshei ha'avon bechavlei hashav," people who drag sin around with ropes that didn't even need to be there. It's absolutely ridiculous. The guy's doing the wrong thing. What do you mean? He needs to get involved in doing something disgusting, thinking that he's doing the right thing. It would have been better for him to stop thinking so much. This is worse than that. This is a direct bizoyan of the Dvar Hashem. The impasak mascharo, and if he stops saying Kriyat Shema, what is his schar? Omer Rabbi Abo, Allah v'katuv Omer, u'badavar hazeh tarichu yamim. That's what he's saying. Ki lo davar reku mikem, ki yuchayechem. You take the Torah seriously. Your life you would spend in the toilet bowl. If you recognize that this is what you're doing, b'davar hazeh tarichu yamim, there's ways that you can do things that bring life to you instead of the opposite. Balkari Mara believe away and Mavarak Lufanavala Lakarev Alamas and Mavarak Lakarev, Venomavarak Lufanap, Rebutomer Mavarak Lufanam Lakarehem, Om Ravina Zoto Merit, Hirur Kitty Burdami, the Sakadaka Laf Kitty Burdami, Lama Marer, Ha? Elamai Marer. So, according to you, here is Kitty Burd. So then say it, Yotzi Bisvatap. That's not a problem. Kriyashkan Bissinai. Rivkis Toma, Hirur Lav Kedibur Dami. This Akadetikur is Kedibur Dami. Yotzi Bisvatav, Elamai, Hirur Lav Kedibur Dami. So what the heck is he doing? Lama Marer. Omre Mahazi to keep him busy, you know. Lo Yukal Elamaiskim Bavu Yoshiva Batel. To keep him busy. I mean, keep busy, the Gris Bepirka Krina. Omre Revada Barava. It means Bidavar Shatzibur Oskimbo. What about tefillah? Tefillah is a davar shatzibur oskimbo, and it says beferish ayah omed b'tefillah v'nizkash u'ba'akari lo yafzika leikatzer, and that's only because you're matchil. Halo atchil, it shouldn't be matchil at all, even b'tehirur. Shani tefillah, the let b'malchut shamayim. B'kata b'zon l'achara, also let b'malchut shamayim. V'tzan ala mazon mevarek l'achara v'inu mevarek l'fana. Ela kriyat shvar b'rechat ha'mazon d'yoraita tefillah d'arapuanan. Once we know that, and we learn our Birkat HaMazon Lefanea from Birkat HaTorah Mikav HaChomer. Birkat HaTorah Lacharem Birkat HaMazon Mikav HaChomer. Uman Bazon She'in To'un Lefanav To'un Lacharav Torah She'tunah Lefanea in Adin She'tunah Lacharea U'Birkat HaMazon Lefanea Birkat HaTorah Mikav HaChomer. Ma Torah She'in To'unah Lacharea To'unah Lefanea Mazon She'u To'un Lacharav En Adin She'e To'un Lefanav. כגל מפרק מעל המזון שכן נהנה ומעל התורה שכן חיי עולם ויות צנן על המזון נפרק לך ונאמר לפניו you're right to יופתא אומר וירא ספק קרא קריאת שמע ספק לא קרא אינו חוזר וקרא ספק אמר אמת ויציב ספק לא אמר חוזר ואומר אמת ויציב מה טיימה? קריאת שמע פרסי יש דרבנן אמת ויציב which is זכר יציאת מצרים is the oraita מותי רב יוסף what about the old problem of בשור וחוף קומך אומר לי הבאי that's בדברי תרקטיב תנא בעל קרי מערער בליבו ואינו מברך לא לפניה ולא לאחריה על המזון מברך לאחריו ואינו מברך לפניו according to you אמת ויציב is the oraita why is he not being מברך לאחריה my time my time מברך anyway אם מישהו מציאת מצרים עד כלי בקריאת שמע so there's no point in it So then v'neima avalo l'baya. No, because kriyat shema adifa deitpatarti even has kabbalat o malchut shamayim together with the chiyuv d'oraita. V'rav Elazar omer, safek kara kriyat shema, safek lo kara chozer v'kore kriyat shema. Safek itpalel, safek lo itpalel. There ain't a chozer mitpalel. Says Rav Yochanan, what do you care? L'vay sheitpalel adam kalayom kulo. V'yom Rav Yonah Meshvel, hayam meit batfilah v'nizkar sheitpalel. Posek afilu b'emtz ha-brocha. Eini, amru nakmur, ki avinim b'ei rab ha-paravua. Boi minan ane b'nei b'arav, de tohu matkri v'cho b'shabbat. Mao shi yigmru, v'om alam gomrim kol ota bracha. Ah, come on, what's the comparison? Achi ashta. Hatam gavra barchi yuvahu. The Rabbana prompted you from saying the entire 19 brachot. De lo atrachu, mishum kvod shabbat. You have to say 7, according to art school, you have to say 18. I guess they leave you off the Birkas Aminim. Aval, ha'orcha ha'tzolilei. V'yam revi ramar shmuel. Yitpalel v'nichmas l'bit ha'kneset u'matzat zibur sh'mitpalelim. Im yocho l'kadesh padavar yachzor v'yitpalel, v'im lam al yachzor v'yitpalel v'tzricha. Okay, that's because it's the same level, either Yochid v'Yochid, or the first time was Betzibor, and the second time was Betzibor. But what about a Yochid who got Betzibor? Come on, the Lord, so we don't become Ashmalot. V'yashminun hachab, yishim de lo atkaba, but man, they already started. Maybe you should finish. Emolo, therefore tzricha. Omre, v'na nichlas l'bet ha'kneset, u'matzat zibur shmen palavim, im yachol ha'tchiv l'gmar t'shalo yagi ha'shatz l'modim, yitvalel, im lav al yitvalel, Reb Yeshua ben Levi omer, im yachol ha'tchiv l'gmar t'shalo yagi ha'shatz l'gdusha yitvalel, v'im lav al yitvalel, v'maika v'inflaget, mar savar yachid omer k'dusha, u'mar savar ein yachid omer k'dusha, וכן אומר ברבר אבא, מניין שאין היחיד אומר קדושה, שאמר ונקדשתי בתוך בני ישראל. כל דבר שבקדושה לא יהיה פחות מעשרה. מה משמע? ותוני רב נוי, אחרו דה רבי חייא בר אבא, את יתוך טוב, כתיב אחר, ונקדשתי בתוך בני ישראל, וכתיב אתם, היבדלו מתוך העדה הזאת. מעלה אלן עשרה, אף כאן עשרה. אבל כל היום הזמדה, מפסק לא פוסק. יבואי לו, מהו להפסיק לישמע גדול מבורך? כי עוד רבים אמרו, רבי ידעו רב שמעון תלמידי רבי יוחנן אמרו, לכל הם מפסיקים חוץ מן ישמע רבה מבורך. אפילו עוסק במסר מרכוב הפוסק, ולא תלחתה כבתי. רבי ידעו מבורך לפני ולאחריהם, what? You're telling me, כסף רבי ידע, בלקרי מותר בדברי תורה? ואומר רבי יושב בן לוי, מניין לבלקרי שעשר בדברי תורה, שנאמר עבודתם לבניך ולבני בניך, וסומך ליום אשר אמרת לפני השם לוקח בחורף, מעלה אלם בלקרי נאסורין, אף כאן בלקרי נאסורין. וכי תאם רבי ידע לא דורש סמוכין, ואומר רבי יוזב אפילו מנדה לא דורש סמוכה בכל התורה, במשנה תורה, דורש, דור רבי יהודה לא דורש סמוכי בכל התורה כולה ובמשנה תורה דורש בכל התורה כולה מנהל נדול דורש לתניה ונעזי אומר נאמר מה חשיפה לא תחייב ונאמר כל שוכב ובהמה מות יומת סמכו עניין לא לומר מה שוכב ובהמה בסקילה ומה חשיפה נעמי בסקילה אומר רבי יהודה ביג דיל וכמיני שסמכו עניין לא נוציא זה לסקילה אלא אובי ידוני בכלל כל המחשבים היו לא מייצאו להקיש להם ולומר לך מה אובי לא נמסקילה אף מה חשפה בסקילה ובמשתתור מן all on the Darish. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer. No say Adam anusat aviv umfutat aviv. Anusat b'no umfutat b'no. Rabbi Yudah, Omer. O ser b'anusat aviv umfutat aviv. V'om Rabbi Yudah, Omer, my time, the Rabbi Yudah. Dictiv lo yikach yishiteshet aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv, knaf shir aviv lo yigale. We might have anusat aviv k'tiv. The summit way. V'n atana ish shokhiv ima. Amri, of course we should Torah Dorish, but Ani Svuch Vibaylele Idach Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Yom Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Kol HaMidna Meid Levino Torah, Ma'ale Alav HaKatuv, Kilo Kibla Mi'ar Chorev Shema, Vodatam Levanech Levnei Vanecha, Uktibat Rei Yom Asher Amarta, Levnei Hashem Lokecha Bechorev. Tonight, Zav Shira Akeri, V'nida Shepolta Shekvat Zera, HaMishameshet V'rat Adam, Trikat Vila, Rabbiuda Poter. So Ad Kan Lo Poter Rabbiuda Lubezav Shira Keri. Okay, because Mikor Lav Bart Vila. But about Keri Greda, apparently he's Mekhayev. And maybe you'll try to tell me, no. Who had that a feel about Keri Greda and Ami Poter? And the only reason he's arguing in this case is Lo Diach Kochad Rabbonan. So then he must say, Hamishameshet Verat Adam, Trikat Vila, tell me. Leman Katanila. According to Rabbana, obviously. Umaz Zav Shara Keri, where he starts off not being Shaykh to being at part Tvila. Nonetheless, Rekhaivi Rabbana. So Amishameshet, who starts off needing Tvila as a Balat Keri. Virat Adam, Mikorabat Tvilai, Zalokoshkin, El Alav, all Kedushas, Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. And the only reason that he says that your Ptura is because Dafka Katanila, since she was a Mishameshet, then she was Rat Anida. That's the reason she's in Tzrichat Tvila. But a normal Balkari, Balkari great is Mechayim. You're right, I give up. Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds the Takanat Ezra, and Lo Teba Bevarech, Ela Mihar Her.
We're holding to that about Chof Dalid, and we got up to yesterday in the middle, we're towards the bottom of Chof Gimel Amid Beis, and we got up to Boimine, I believe, yeah? If I'm not mistaken. So Boimine with Yosef, Bereid Rev Nechunya, Nirev Yehuda, if I'm correct, all right. Okay, so we're 8 lines up from the bottom. Moshe, now 7 lines. Moshe Aniach Adam Tvilav, Tachat Mirashot Tav. Can a person keep his tefillin to be shemed underneath his head when he goes to sleep? Certainly not a very derech kavod. Definitely, you can't put them beneath your feet. The point over here is that if somebody tries to steal them or an animal tries to get them in the middle of the night, you'll feel it moving. So that would work for, you could put it under your feet, but that's for sure not derech kavod. That's in fact what Nation of Hegman min derech bizayon. Aval minicham tachat mirashotav. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. Sumai. Omalei ofi omashmu. Mutar v'afilu ishto imo. First of all, it's mutar in terms of the sleeping on the tefillin. We'll see, it doesn't mean literally on the tefillin. What's more, it's mutter even if his wife is with him and he's likely to have relations with her. There's no problem either. We'll see later on. There's issues of protecting the tefillin, kis betoch kis, and so on when we get to it. Neisve lo yaniach adam to be left tachat margalotav with nation aig ben derech bishayon. Aval minicham tachat mirashotav. So far, so good. The problem is that Shmuel said afilo yishtoimo, and here it says v'imaydai yishtoimo asur. Hayam akom shekavoa shloshat tvachim onamuch shloshat tvachim mutar. If you have a stool next to the bed. So it's three tvachim now separate. Three tvachim is like it's in a different place. It's lower than three tvachim from your bed. So then it would be okay because it's in a different area. Tiyufta to Shmuel. It looks like Shmuel is out of the water. Tiyufta, you're right. Boy, he's blown away. This is not good.
Also three tvachim away, probably?
No.
Even further from the bed?
No. We're talking about the height.
It has to be first,
yeah. In other words, so it should be now in a different, I mean, away already, then you don't have any shmira. That's not the issue. We're trying to find shmira over here. Omar Rava says, Rava, it's a very strange thing, but the truth is that Rafa gave the tiny to Yotzi Shmuel, even though we just proved that Shmuel is wrong, we pass him like him. Allah kavate, we're going to follow him, la halacha. Why? My time up. Kol nidnitrinu tvei adif. Even though you're right in terms of the dinim of Bizoyan and so on, he's wrong, and there's an inyan of Bizoyan, that's here. However, we pass him that it's more kedai to watch the tefillin better, even in a state of Bizoyan. So Shmuel wasn't necessarily addressing that issue. But look, even though the Brisa says it's considered to be Bizoyan if he's going to be sleeping with his wife, nonetheless, for Shmira, we're Mercho on the Bizoyan.
A particular Shmira or just some Shmira?
Whatever is needed for Shmira, like we had riding on a donkey on a Sefer Torah. That type of thing. That's whatever is needed to be able to maintain the Kiddush of a thing, ultimately, is more important the way right now I'm treating it, because ultimately I'm treating it in order to be Shemirat.
Yeah, but if you don't really need it, then of course you don't do it without Bizoyan.
What do you mean you don't really need it?
Elders,
we're talking about a case where a guy, where he's worried that it's going to be stolen or eaten elsewhere. V'heichamon achlu, when you're putting it under your pillow, where? Omer b'yirmi avein kar l'cheset, shalo k'neged rosho. We don't mean literally to stick it now under your head. What we mean is you put it under the pillow. You put it under the pillow between the pillow and the sheet. And not directly beneath your head, but that way if somebody pulls at it, or if an akbar pulls at it, you'll feel it, and you'll be able to grab it. V'tali Rebbe Chiya minichran b'kova tachat mirashosan. Doesn't Rebbe Chiya say that you leave it in the kis? The kova over here means its container. And he says directly, tachat mirashosan. So in other words, that means that you've got the kis shel tefillin. It sounds essentially as if that's going to be your pillow. No, it means the mafik like the murisha de kova levar. It's talking about that in the tefillin zekel itself, wherever the tefillin are, you have a enlargement of the kova, even if it's not a very flexible kind of tefillin zekel. Nonetheless, it's clear where the tefillin are in that zekel. So you have one section that's enlarged because of the presence of the tefillin. That's called lemur shahon. Notice the corner, the sharp point. Its point should be put outside. So what happens is over here, essentially, you have a large enough kis for the tefillin that you will feel somebody moving it, and your head is on the part of the kis where the tefillin aren't. And the murisha, where the actual tzitz of the tefillin is not directly beneath your head. Bar Kapora, tzir lebechilta, umafik lemoshihon levar. Now, Bar Kapora also has his problem. How did he keep his tefillin? He had a canopy bed. So he would put the tefillin in, attach them to the edge of the canopy, with the area of the tefillin themselves facing outwards. But if anybody would try to pull the tefillin, it would move the inside that was attached to the inside part of the canopy. And that way, he had to basically achieve the same thing without putting his head on it. Another mice, Omer Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshe Bereid Rav Yidi, would put it on a stool, and he would put over the tefillin a sudar to protect them, and then if that was under him, somebody would pull that, then it was a shmir that way. So that's even better. Omer Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yosef, Zimna Choda, Havakeimna Kameda Rava. I was once learning by Rav Avamali Zil Aite Li Tefillin, and he asked me to go bring his tefillin. So he had his tefillin in his bedroom. It was the only place where people were certain that nothing would happen to them. V'yashkachtinu ben kar l'cheset, shelo k'neged rosho. And indeed I found him, halach l'maaseh, the way we said originally, that it was beneath his pillow, between the pillow and the ticking. And it was not where his head, I could see where his head had been lying, it was not k'neged rosho. And it happens to be, v'yadana v'yom tefillah havi. Rashi learns, I knew that his wife had gone to the mikveh the night before. Which is a little bit strange. I mean, how would he know his wife had gone to the mikvah? Others learned that he knew that Rava went to the mikvah that morning. And normally, they weren't zayir unless it actually had intercourse. They would go to the mikvah. So he recognized that it must be that he had kept these tefillin in his bed despite the fact that he had been sleeping with his wife. Which is a raya now, la'agmar on halacha l'maisa the other. He did this to teach me that l'maisa we should follow Shmuel's psak, and that afilo ishto imo, we still should keep the tefillin ben kar l'chesed. So it was to teach me halacha l'maisa. Now, I must introduce to you that according to the way just about every shita learns the following sugya, it will not sit well with people of Western sexual sensitivities. Because that is a Christian civilization, and therefore it's very alien to the way the Gemara has things, okay? But the norm was in those days to sleep at night without night clothing. And the norm was that everybody basically slept in one bed. And there weren't big houses. The bedroom was the house, essentially. You opened up, you know, the area for the bed. So essentially you have a bunch of nude people sleeping together in one bed. And the shaila is there any problem of reading Kriyat Shema in such circumstances? Now, in order to understand the sugya properly, we have to be mechalek between a number of different issues. There's the question of Erva. The Torah says that l'yerabach Erva davar. If that's the case, we have to be careful that at a time when we have Yemachanecha Kadosh, the time that you're being Osik in Yonim of Kedusha, quite aside from Isurei Erva, with something that is not Osir, it's not Osir to be naked, but you can't say Kriyat Shema when you're naked. So we have one issue of nakedness. For that, we have various dinim, such as covering just the genital area, problem if you have something that covers your entire body but doesn't separate between your heart and your genitals is a question of libo roes erva, which we'll see later on as machloket. Then we have another question, which is the tirda, which is the presence of sexual stimulation. Now, there's two levels of that. There's an isser of hirhur, which a person is not allowed to be thinking about sex. That is talking about something in which there's an actual intent, an interest, a prurient sexual interest in something. That's a yura which per se is usur. The klal, it's usur to be maharashalei harabi yom v'yavali deitum v'alayla. We're certainly not talking about cases over here where there's any prurient interest in the people that you're sleeping with. But there's another level of yirhur, which is sexual tension. In other words, wherever there's any type of physical contact with anyone, the Gemara takes for granted the Freudian basis of all relationships. So there's always a sexual tension in contact. So there the question is whether that is an issue in terms of Kriyat Shema. And then we have a machlokas. Is the problem the sexual content, or is the problem the tirda? Some Rishonim learn simply it's because you're not concentrating properly on your Kriyat Shema. On that level of tirda, the Gemara does not see any distinction whatsoever in terms of the age of the person, the sex of the person. There's absolutely no difference. The relationship that you have to that person, whether it's a family member, non-family member, and so on. The only difference that we recognize is the relationship between a man and his wife, which is someone that they're so used to each other's bodies that they don't have that tension. But otherwise, we recognize that there's an element of tension, and therefore we need to discuss that aspect when it comes to Kriyat Shema. So now the shaila is like this. Ask the Gemara, we're up to Boimine. Boimine Rav Yosef, the Beredu of Nechunim and Rav Yehuda. Shnayim Shishanim b'mitachat. If you have two or more people that are sleeping in one bed. So now the question is, can they, we understand that if they're facing each other, again, here there's a machlokas. Facing each other, Rashi and many Rishonim learn, we're talking about a bed that is so small that in facing each other, there's going to be some genital contact because there's simply no place to go. Others learn facing each other means even facing each other without contact. That itself, we understand, is facing another person's nakedness. So that even if there's no problem of ri'ah, because you're under the covers and so on, that itself would be awesome. But Pashas, we learn like Rashi, it's talking about contact. So his question is, can you turn in the other direction? If both people turn the other way, then they won't be touching each other. They will be touching each other from the back, but Dr. Gemara will discuss what about that problem. So it says, so what's the deal? Are you allowed to carry Kriyat Shema if each one turns aside? Shmuel said there's no problem of doing that. Even if his wife is with him in the bed. Maskal of Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, I understand, how can you bring a proof from that? A wife isn't more of a problem. A wife is less of a problem. So what you're saying, Adra, you're telling me, Ishto Velomi Boy Acher, you're saying, I have a riot, even his wife is going to be there, Koshkit, somebody else. On the contrary, Ishto Gigufo, his wife, basically, he feels the same way he feels about his own body. But Acher, some other human being, is certainly going to create a tension, which is greater than he would have with Ishto, Lav Gigufo Dami. Now here, again, the question, the Havamina that we had, is that the question is sexual content. In which case, Shmuel said, look, if your own wife, which is certainly something that has a sexual content, is mutter, so koshkin somebody, maybe even somebody of the same sex, is a child of your own, or so on and so forth, that's for sure should be mutter. Says Rav Yosef, but that wasn't the issue. The question over here wasn't that he had some kind of interest, some sexual interest, and that's what's going to be mark of the Kriyat Shema. The question over here is what Rashi calls hiyur, but he means it in the sense of not the hiyur of taiva, of this particular individual, but the possibility of taiva, that creates, it clearly creates attention. As soon as people are in contact with each other, there's an actual biological reaction to have to deal with that. And we have all types of mechanisms for that. I mean, even the strange mechanisms of somebody coming close to touch your nose, you feel that? You got that? Okay, what is that? It has a sexual element to it, not a prurient element, but it's the fact of somebody else coming close to you, right, or tickling and so on. So in the Gemara, we're not mechalik between there's innocent touching, there's non-innocent touching. There's neither innocent nor non-innocent. It's just the way it is. So therefore, the Shaila is, Rav Yosef, how are you proving anything by bringing me a riot from his wife? Adarabba. Ishtoka gufa. So that's no proof. Maybe we can even show that it's wrong. Shnayim shishinim b'mita achat, zemach zirpanav v'korei. V'zemach zirpanav v'korei. So one brisa says there's not a problem, which seems to be like Shmuel. V'tanya achreite ha'yashen b'mita o'banav v'nei b'to b'tzido. What are you going to do about that? That if you have the people of your home, meaning of your family, and Rashi says that includes a wife, that's also b'nei beito. So it's saying over here that you would have to use a talit, meaning some type of beged, to cover between the two of you. If we're talking about youngsters over here, we'll decide what age that is. So then it's okay even without a talit. But over here it appears that someone of once an age that is sexually stimulating is prohibited. Tosfos says this definitely not can't be true, because we never find that we call Ishto, in this context, B'nai Beito. I mean, we've been talking about B'nai Beito all along, and nobody ever thought it meant Ishto. Therefore, Tosfos says there's clearly a different Gersa. He brings the Gersa from Ben Yosef, which is Haya Yashen B'mita B'Ishto Yashena B'Tzido. It's a completely different price, not the price we discussed before. So we have over here a contradiction in terms of the issues of Shmuel. So Bishleim el Rav Yosef Lokasha, according to Rav Yosef Adorav, it's not a problem. Because we could say that there's no problem when there's Ishto, then there is a problem when there's somebody else. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel says it's all the same, and it's okay, I feel Ishto, you might want to explain that. So Shmuel, wait, just hold on a second over here. What do you mean according to Rav Yosef it's okay? According to Rav Yosef, it's also not okay here. So, I mean, I understand. Again, the Girsa being the Rav Yosef's Girsa, or according to Rashi, this being a reference to Ishto specifically. So what are you going to say according to Rav Yosef? El al Korchav, you're going to have to say, even according to him, that we're going to say, Ma'itlach Lameima, that Ishto or Rav Yosef Tanoi. One Braita is saying it's okay, and didn't raise the problem. The other Braita is saying it's not okay. So he wants to say that that's Dafka by Ishto. Fine. So I say the same thing about everybody. So Ishto Rav Yosef Tanoi, L'didinami Tanoi, is according to me, this is my focus. There is indeed a man, the Amar, all said it's different. Look up at Ishto, or maybe look up at everybody. All I said was, if you hold up the other man, the Amar, then Afilo, I stick by that. Afilo Ishto Emo, and for sure anybody else. Omar Marzeb, Afilo Panava, Korek, Riachma. I don't get it. You're saying the problem was genital contact. So if you're going to turn the other direction, you're still going to be touching the other person's buttocks, right? Va'ika Agavot. So how about that? Isn't that some type of tension? This proves Rav Huna's contention that agavot ain't ben mishum erva. Now some learn, this is a very interesting nukuda. The Gemara is saying over here that we don't view buttocks as having to do with erva. Does that mean that we're arguing about the fact that there's some stimulation involved in contact on that level? So some learn, of course we're not arguing about that. We're being mechadesh over here that there's a third darga, in other words. There's a stimulation that is possible from simple physical contact of any kind. But we're not going to answer that. We only answer a contact that has some connection to genital contact. So the question is, you're going to say that from the rear you're just as sexy, so to speak, as from the front? No, that's exactly what we're going to determine over here. That this is not considered to be erva. This is Gemara's own, you know, erogenous zone, safer over here. But this is the final word, halof, you know, I mean, everybody else can have their opinion. So, leimam b'sayel erevuna. L'chor, we have a riot of Rebuna, because the question of Erva has other implications as well, exposure. You're not allowed to say a bracha, you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema in the presence of Erva. Can you say Kriyat Shema or a bracha in the presence of a buttock? Somebody is covered from the front, uncovered from the back, or you've got a bunch of students mooning you while you're trying to say shir. Is that considered to be okay to say shir?
In the hospital,
that's how this happens all the time.
Is there a female distinction?
No, there's B'chol. In all of these issues, there's no male or female distinctions. The only question is in terms of things that are normally not exposed or exposed in that, you know. So for a woman, as we'll see, the woman generally keeps her body covered. Any exposure, even tefach b'isha, which we're going to get up to, but other than that, in terms of ma'panecha kadosh, there's no nefkamim between male and female. So the shaila is this considered to be? We're trying to bring a raya. Is this considered to be an exposure of buttocks? Is it considered erva? So we have a riot or a guna because it says that it's not. Because it says Yisha Yoshevet, V'kotzala Chalata Aruma. A naked woman can take off chala. Now she has to make a bracha in order to do that. How is she going to make a bracha? She sits down on the ground. And in sitting down on the ground, she basically has her genital orifices covered. So what's the problem? Obviously a man can't do that because his equipment is going to show. Avaloha Ish. So that proves, now I mean, certainly she's not going to be just because she's sitting on the ground. She's still going to be visible from the rear, isn't she? Tirgama Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, not necessarily. Because we might be talking about Tikon Shaya Paneo Tufot Pakarka. She may, in fact, be pressing down her entire, the bottom half of her body again. So she has her rear end against the ground. This, by the way, is the mucker for the Yiddish Tufis. It's Tufos. It means stuck up against, right? And that which is hidden is called Tufot. Not to be confused with the modern Hebrew Tachat, which they tried to, you know, take over the Yiddish. It's a mistake. That's not the marker for a buttocks in Yiddish. Omer Mar, im hayu banav ubnei beto ktanim mutar. Now, you said before that there's no problem, l'chora this means, even of genital contact, as long as the children are young. V'yat kama, Omrev Chista, Tinoket, we'll see, by the way, in our halacha review, that there's a machlokas, well, this means literal genital contact, but, you know, with young children. What's the share of young children? Omrev Chista, Tinoket, Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, V'Tinoket, then Tesha Shanim V'Yom Echad. What is the definition? It's the same definition we had in Nida about Ru'uya Leviya. Because since we're talking over here specifically sexual stimulation, that element, that tension that we're calling, so it has to be capable of consummation, at least, in order to create tension. So you may say that you can have a physical reaction or stimulation of having an infant on top of you as well, but it certainly is not roid to consummation, and therefore it wouldn't be nageya, the iser, unless it would be nageya erva, as we saw that. So the simple shear would be, once... Do you have the check? So once you have the age, that's Roy Levia, now you're going to have a problem of sexual tension. That's one mandiyomi. The other say it's not the question of the possibility of consummation. It's a question of the level of sexual awareness and stimulation. So in other words, you need to have someone that is close enough to puberty that it's going to be stimulating. So ikri amri tinoket bat yudalev shana v'yom echad, v'tinok ben 12 shana v'yom echad. It would be talking about, not necessarily they have to be old enough to be bedolim, but they have to be old enough so that signs of puberty in a female, what do we have? In a female that there's breast development, in a male that there's tzarech tzimeach, that there's pubic hair. So that would be the shear that is already stimulating. And maybe there you wouldn't be allowed to, again, the question over here is, wouldn't be allowed at all, or wouldn't be allowed unless you're magzir panav. That again, that's a machlokas. I mean, I know the Mishmur says it's a little hard to believe we're actually allowing genital contact just because they're younger. I mean, okay, but Lamaisa will see that there's machlokas made up poskim how far we go this with this. Ide v'ide, so both of them are kedesh adayim nachonu v'saref tzimeach, which is the pasuk that we say in the Hagadah Shel Pesach from Yecheskel, referring to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds Klal Yisrael just at a pubescent stage. Omalei Rav Kana l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Kana said to Rav Ashi, look, it comes to the shiloh of Ishto Imo. Shmuel said before you could keep your tefillin under your pillow, even if Ishto Imo. We showed that he was wrong, and then we said, even though he's wrong, he's right. And we have over here exactly the same thing, it looks like. The question is about reading Kriyat Shema. Can you turn the other direction? Shmuel says, with your wife, it's okay. And then we have this other brice that says it's not. I mean, it's the same thing. We paskin like Shmuel before, even though there was a brice against him, of course, get over here, which seems to be my focus. So maybe we should paskin like Shmuel here too. So he asked Rav Ashi, Rava said over there, Afagav that the Yuf to Shmuel, Yuf to Kavasi to Shmuel. But even though Lemaisa, we've shown Shmuel wrong, we paskin like him. Do we say over here the same thing on the same topic? Ishto imo, woman who gets feeling, woman who gets kriyat shema. So Akamar, Amar Leisa, I don't understand what you like the pattern so much. You think it's all the same weave? Everything is woven in the same way. So this is the word that we have, and by the way, of can we use for a second? There's the Rashi, beautiful Rashi actually. Not here. We had the Rashi back in Chulin. The Kula Bechada Machta is Rashi is Tikkun Dibur. When you're being metaken, what you're saying, kori le inche ariza. And the word that we have, of course, for a mesechet, is mesechet. Mesechet means the setup of a weave. Well, no, it's the setup of the threads on the loom. It's not the loom itself. So in other words, it's an actual loom about to go into action. Mach does the same idea. We're talking about a weave. That is the word in Hebrew. And that is such a stunning thing that we call a mesechet a mesechet. That is the word in Hebrew for the word context. Context comes from the word weaving. That's textiles. Mm-hmm. Context is that which is kada machta, machtino. So a mesechet stresses the fact that we've been talking about structure so much here. Stresses the fact that the main element in Seder, because we're talking about Seder is royim, whatever the Seder of the Mishnah. The Seder is in terms of its interwoven structure, which is the context of each thing needs to be understood in terms of the Masechet as a whole. Therefore, he tainis. What kind of question is this? What is part of the same context? It's not part. It's because it happens to have some loose correlation that both of them are talking about Ishto Imo. It's not the same context. So why would we pass him like Shmuel just because we pass him like Shmuel over there? Hey, for the Itmar, Itmar has a low Itmar, low Itmar. You can't make a rule out of that. Omelet with Mari Lord of Papa. This now is the basis of a Broadway show, this Gemara. What is the din, asks Rav Mari Lord of Papa, if you have pubic hair exposed. No genital area. But Lamaisa, you know, that swimming suit is like really bad news. So is a bikini okay? I mean, what is their problem there? I've got a male here. So he's got sarioceptivitis, pubic hairs now, that extend out of his begad, mouth. Coralie, so Rufupa's response was, ha, hair. Sar, big deal. What's the big deal about hair anyway? Is that where they got the name from? Tefach b'isha erva. Comes out of Yitzchak and say even one tefach of a woman exposed is considered to be erva. Now, when you say it's considered to be erva, you've got to tell me what that means, because we've already seen that we've used it in different ways, right? We've spoken about the tension of erva in terms of maga. We've talked about erva in terms of saying a bracha. There's obviously questions of erva in terms of being close to erva. So what exactly are we talking about over here? You're talking about looking at a tefach. Listakula is not ria. Listakula means to stare at with the intent to enjoy. So you're talking about listakula. You're talking about get a load of that. Rav Sheshes says you don't need a tefach for that, because we find when they came back from Mechevet Midian, as Raj points out, what was the whole tachas of the gift that was brought from coming back from Mechevet Midian? So as they explained to Moshe was like, what's going on over here? You guys, you only went to fight for morality. What happened? You sleep with those girls? I said, no, but we couldn't help thinking about it. So then they brought, as a tikkun for Yirhur, the jewelry of the women. And the Torah goes into a description of tabat, the kumaz, right? Now, there's a big difference between a tabat and a kumaz, because a tabat is on a finger, and a kumaz is basically a chastity belt. So it's talking about piercing the genital area. So now if you're holding a kumaz, that's definitely a lot more exciting than holding a tabat. So why, therefore, says Rav Sheshes, why did the Torah put together this intimate jewelry? Rashi says that this generally parents would pierce the vagina of their kids with this decorative, little belt, but it had some very useful side effects. Namely, it would keep the men away. There's no way they could actually do what they'd like to do. So it was a good way to keep their kids. Meanwhile, it was decorative. It was pretty. So this is called a kumaz. We mentioned that Rava says you don't need a raya what a kumaz is. Read the words. Kumaz stands for kan makom zima. Here's the place. Okay, so we understand that it's specifically meant to be an intimate piece of jewelry, to say the least. And why did the Torah throw that together with simple things like rings and earrings? Lama mana katuf tachshitim shebachutz im tachshitim shebifnim. To teach you something. That lomalacha kol ha-mistakel de'etzba ketana shalish. What are you looking at? You're looking at her pinky. She's wearing a pinky ring. Come off it, man. But lomaisa, if that is what's exciting you, then it's kila mistakel b'makom ha-torah. There's no difference between looking at that and looking as deep as you want to get. So it can't be for that. What would be the meaning of a tefach? Either you're looking or not looking. Ella, what it must be, is nothing to do with the isser of erva, rather with the exposure of erva, even when it's mutter to you, even your own wife. So now your wife is sitting there, and she's got her arms uncovered, which would generally be covered. Can you say kriyashma? No. How much uncovered? A tefach. So a tefach creates an isser erva, again, which has nothing to do with the isurim of erva relating in terms of erva, because obviously it's your own wife. Nothing to do with the stimulation of erva, because we're not talking about stimulation. It's not being mistakel. If it'd be mistakel, it would be true about anybody. So therefore, we're talking about over any amount. So what we're talking about over here is a special din of exposure in terms of our Yom HaChagav HaKadosh, which of Avloya Bechar Vadavar, for Kriyat Shema. And that, of course, would include things like saying Kiddush. We have the same problem. This, by the way, these kind of problems come up all the time, because we often have guests at your home who expose parts of their body that are considered to be tefach b'isha erva, which leads to a lot of problems. And so what do you do under those circumstances? Same thing with the hair, which we're about to discuss. This ended up being a big question when tzniut started breaking down, in post-Renaissance Europe and so on, in the streets. The shilas started coming fast and thick. The Aruch HaShofar made a mistake of sticking his neck out and saying that these halachas are socially mandated. Because tefach b'isha erva is by definition a tefach that would not normally be uncovered. But if it's normally uncovered, then there's nothing exciting about it, and it ceases to be called erva. And that's why Chassidim will not look at the Aruch HaShofar. I'm serious. This place is where he's banned. He's got the nerve to say what he held out of it. But, you know, things haven't changed much. So, but Halakha L'maisa, he's in Ramesha, you know, nobody banned him yet, I don't think. It's actually some Hasidim do. But even Ramesha Paskin, even though the normative approach was to avoid this, but he says, look, if it's in a makom where, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't turn around the other direction and make Yiddish, you know. You've got people at your table. I mean, you're out in the street. You need to make a bracha. What are you supposed to do? So he says, certainly under those circumstances, you can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan. These are all extensions of Erev HaDeoraisa, that are essentially the Rabbanan. And if he's finding that those things, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, those things that are extensions of true Erevah, there's different types of things. So there's true Erevah, which is an absolute. Genitals are Erevah. That's an absolute. Now the question is an exposed arm Erevah, an exposed leg Erevah, and so on. Okay, that is social. And therefore, you could be certain upon it. However, best to close your eyes. Says Ramesh. Yeah, but certainly, you're not going to embarrass anybody to tell them to here put on a scarf, you know, unless they should know better. Obviously. How do we know that? Oh, so this is the guy Kriya Shema. Because says, well, b'chlal, forget about a tefach, a shok be'isha erva. You got a leg, an uncovered leg. I mean, that's erva because it says in the Torah specifically, it talks about what parts of a woman are exciting. So now the Navi wants to discuss the terrible minhagim of Klal Yisrael, that they have become like a cheap woman. So it says over there, Galit Samatech, Chespi Shovel, Galit Shok, these are the strippers, the Chasvim. So it says over there, Beferish, Galit Shok, uncover, go ahead, go uncover your legs, and walk around the stage. So clearly, if the Navi is making fun of us in that way, then that must be Erba. Uchsi, Tagel ervatech v'gantirech ervatech. The pasuk continues right after that, and I'm calling that exposing your erva, even though the pasuk before only talked about prancing around on stage with your legs uncovered. So you see that Yeshayahu is defining the nature of such a thing as erva. Or Mashmul, kol b'isha erva. You have the same thing as the tefach if you have a woman singing. Shemar ki kolech arev umarech nava. So that means that if you have somebody singing, you're not allowed to make a bracha either. Actually, there's a machlokas about the reference here. Is the reference to bracha, or maybe on the contrary, for bracha there's no isser, and the isser of here is to be nene from the singing. That again we'll discuss. I'm getting worried about our halakhic reviews because we got enough of here to go for 3 months just on halakhas. No kidding. Maybe we should, you know, take off particular times where it's you know, serious times. But these are major issues. Is this a question of listening to a woman singing? Is it a woman's presence singing while saying Kriyat Shema, or while you're saying Bracha or Kiddush or so on? Is it any woman? Does it include a cassette recorder or a radio? Is it does it a woman doctor that you have to know? Is it only if the woman is present? And so on and so forth. These are questions that have been ma'asik the poskim for many generations. Where do we see this? Kolech Harei Amar Rav Sheshes Sar B'Isha Erva. Hair that is normally covered. And hear that? Hear the Rush says clearly. Notice when we're talking about hair, we're talking again. It's not that hair per se. We just got finished joking about pubic hair. I mean, all of a sudden we're saying hair, you know, hair, big deal. Now we're saying all of a sudden, sarva yisharva. So the idea is because the derech of the nesuas, is how the Rush puts it. There was on the day an unmarried woman. Since the derech of a married woman is to cover her hair, so uncovered hair becomes now erva in the context of saying a bracha. And this, indeed, this is where the Aruch HaShulchan focuses on. The very fact that there's a difference between a married woman and an unmarried woman. Where exactly does that come from? So is it in the isser of relating to the unmarried woman? To the married woman as opposed to not having any isser in relating to a unmarried woman? So how about today, when nobody's a bakra tuma b'tayra, and therefore the unmarried women are real arvas? Because they're nidas. So how about then? If they get the din of a married woman, obviously not. Nobody's bakra there. So what's the issue? So again, the issue seems to be, once again, the social contract. The mark of a married woman is that her hair is kept special for her husband, in which case it now becomes erva for somebody else. So how about if that's not the social contract? Again, all of these are the issues that need to be taken into consideration.
For only her husband and for no one else, but include other women.
Yes. Well, for the public is what it includes. It doesn't make, in her home, the quality, but it's not really an issue. Because this is her home. If you're invading her territory, that's your problem. It's not her problem. But to go outside and to expose yourself to listen, I got to tell you something. I don't know. You know, I saw Rebbe hanging his tefillin. And we thought that that meant that he took the ritzu of the tefillin, let's say he hung his shorosh on the kesher of the shorosh, So you have the ketzitza of the tefillin hanging down, and the mitzvah is up on top. So the Gemara asks, how could he do that? You want to hang your tefillin? You hang your life, buddy. Because we know that the Torah is considered to be a Rashi. It says, this is the chayim of a person. This is your life. You take the parshas of the Torah, that's what your tefillin represents, the Torah that is olive of Echa, and that is Bein Echa, you hang that? So what you're saying is, I'm hanging my life. So how would Rebbe have done that? As a matter of fact, Dorshe Chamurot Amru, here, by the way, is another relationship of context and interwovenness. Because the word Dorshe Chamurot, which is generally taken to mean those people who took tough Midrashim and gave you Pirushim on them, actually, Rashi, not here, because he's here, so he starts the Dorshe Rishumas, but elsewhere says, Chamuras is a Lashon of Kesher. So that when you have things that are tied together, you need to open them up. But it's the interrelatedness that is difficult to untie and to figure out which elements are important, which aren't, and how do I see this. So, you know, just how do they explain the meaning of in the Tokacha? We find we actually use that concept. Your life will be hanging in front of your eyes. What is that referring to? Zehatolet tfilav. Because we find tfilin called chayim. This is the Kiyu Chayecha. So how could Rebbe do it? Answers the Gemara. He misunderstood what he saw. He never said, Chas v'shalom, Rebbe would hang the tefillin on his ritzuos. He said he hung the tefillin, which simply means he took the ketzitza of the tefillin itself and he put it up on a hook. So that the ritzuos were hanging down, not that the ketzitza was hanging down. That's not a derech of bizoyan. So have the ritzua, have the ketzitza. You know what? It could be that even that's not a good derech. See by saying a loshna ritzua, a loshna ketzitza? It may be also to put your tefillin on a hook, whether you're hanging them from the ritzua or you're hanging the ritzua from the ketzitza. What Rebbe did was he put his tefillin zekel on a hook. So his kis of the tefillin had a little hook on it, which he was able to hook, drape over the wall on a hook. And then he held, it was not considered to be teva tefillin. So, according to this, that's the Tala Rebbe, the kis Tala, he would not have hung up his tefillin at all. He hung up the kis shel tefillin. So what's the chiddush? Yochi Maila Meimar, that means, why would I think that's awesome? What do you mean, why? You can't hang up a Sefer Torah like that. You say, put a hook on the Sefer Torah and hang it up on the wall. A Sefer Torah requires hanocha, that's the din. So maybe the tefillin has the same halacha as the Sefer Torah. You have to put the tefillin on something, in a shelf. You say, we can't hang them. So he's telling us a big chiddush. Ma, the tefillin by hanocha to Sefer Torah. Kamash v'lan, the ten is mutter. Beyond Rebbe Chanina, once we're already talking about squealing on Rebbe, Anira Itiat Rebbe, I also must tell you that over the years, I have watched very carefully to learn dinim from Rebbe's davening, and I saw that Rebbe belched during davening, and Rebbe also yawned during davening, it was mitfa'eh. I saw that he sneezed during davening, it was mitfa'eh. I noticed that he spit during davening, he was rock. I noticed that he was mimashmesh begadav, that if there was a kina on him, he would pick it off from his begadim. But I also noticed that once his talis fell off, accidentally, and he didn't bend down to pick it up and to put it on again. Just continued to daven. I also noted that if he would yawn, he would cover his mouth by putting his hand not over his mouth, but sort of as if, with a cover, as if it was supporting his chin, but meanwhile would cover his mouth. Basically. Now, the problem is, the Brisa seems to indicate that those things are not mutter. At least not all of them. First of all, Hamashmiya kolo b'tfilato areze miktani emuna. A person who feels, he gets good kavana, and he speaks loudly. He doesn't say shmonesu the way everybody else does. Such a person is like k'tani emuna. So the pashtus people think that k'tani emuna is the pshat, he thinks God can't hear him unless he speaks up. I mean, nobody's that stupid. I got to speak up. I don't believe that God can be as good hearing. I mean, that's the Ketani Amunah. Reb Tzadik has a wonderful shot. This Ketani Amunah means self-confidence. Amunah in oneself, which is always the din of Amunah. Amunah is never Amunah in something else. It's your faithfulness to an idea or to yourself. So Anshe Amunah are people that are faithful to their own ideal. It's not faithful to something outside.
So he's got a low self-image.
So the idea over here is, he doesn't believe that his thoughts really mean anything much. And when he says something, you know, so he decides, so if I utter myself, I jump up and down, and I really put my heart into it, and I say it, and you know, and I can hear it. That already, that's meaningful. No, that's Miktani Amunah. The meaning of a thing doesn't come from the volume level or the jumping or anything else. It comes from the extent at which something means something to you in your heart. And therefore, you're expanding a moon if you think that your heart's meaningless. Somebody who shouts during the davening, now like Viakalovitvila, these words, he's like a Nabi Sheker. I mean, he's got to make an impression on everybody, like the V.A. Habal that were going around all day long shouting, Habal, Habal! And I said, okay, so they got the ball, he's got to come for it, you know, but it's basically the same idea. None of this interests us, the guy they read. But how about this piece? Migahek, umifahek, arezim igasei haruach. Somebody who would belch or would yawn? What kind of... what would be the word, gasei haruach? Not arrogant, but rather...
Of course.
No.
Rude,
you would say. No, it's more than rude. It's like Frenchman.
Stop.
What's the word?
Snob.
It's a snobbery. It's more than arrogant. It's an anhaga in which you hold yourself to be the nose up in the air, to be above everybody else. There's a special word for it. Haughty is closer. Yes, definitely. That's definitely closer. No, haughty is the closest so far. But anyways, migatsi arua. Hamitatesh b'tfilato. Don't say that to Enrad. Somebody now who sneezes in his tefillah. That's a sin in Rallo. That's a sign that things are not going to be going good for him in his tefillah. V'yesh omrim, others saying, Nikar shehun dechoar. He's a disgusting person. This has all been said about the things that were just said that Rebbe did. This is unbelievable. Harak b'tfilato. Somebody spits in this tefillah. And he was made, he's already spit. Kilo rak b'fnei ha-melech. But you would walk into the Queen of England and say, excuse me, Elizabeth, old girl. What kind of business is that? So how could you possibly be rock in the middle of a tefillah? And we're going to explain this. Look, I mean, you could say that there's a difference between somebody who yawns in a way, he just can't control the yawn, and somebody who gets into his yawning. You know, somebody say, there's some guy. We know who we're talking about. There's some davenings in which you can't daven. This is people that's just yawning all the time. So that's terrible. Belching. I mean, people belching, you have a good belch, like a compliment at the end of a Chinese meal. That's not what you're supposed to be doing during the tefillah. Certainly that's not what the Rebbe did during his davening. He came, and he belched. But he wasn't able, it was an accident. He realized it was happening. But mitatesha, I mean, what about sneezing? Sneezing is always an accident. So that's a problem, no? No, mitatesha, nami lo kasha. Actually, there's two ways to sneeze. One's from on top, and one's from on the bottom. And we don't have another word except itush. So Lamaiso, one is talking about itush, was sneezing. One is talking about releasing flatulence. That already is mechoar. And that's not what I meant that Rebbe was doing. I meant that he sneezed. The Amar Rebbe, Zera, Ham Hilsa, Ilali Beiravel, Nuna, Vatekila, Vekikuli, Talmudoy, I gotta tell you, they drilled this into me. I absorbed it into my flesh when I was learning by Ravuna. To me, it weighs as much as everything else. Because I got allergies. And all davening long, I'm sneezing, driving everybody crazy. And I used to think, oh my God, like, what does this mean about the darga of my tefillah? And then they taught me, hamitatesh b'tefillah to siman yafelo. I learned that it's a good sign. Why is it a good sign? Because when a guy needs to sneeze, I mean, it's such a terrible pain not getting that sneeze, right? I mean, you need to sneeze. You need to sneeze sometimes. So therefore, kishem shosim lo nachat ruach milamata, tako sim lo nachat ruach milamala. If on the earth they have allowed you to find your sneeze, then that means that in the heavens they're allowing you to find what you're looking for in your davening. So therefore, it's a good sinner.
Yeah.
Really? No, I'm
not
sure. But obviously, when you're diving, he's wearing his tefillin, and that's and so isn't that even more than it's not a non-Muslim or a tefillin?
Right.
You're not allowed to. Yeah. Yeah. We're not supposed to be doing action. We're going to talk about it soon. But how about the spit part? I'm going to explain that. Raka, raka, kasha. Says somebody spitting. He's like spitting in front of the melech. How can he spit in the middle of davening? No, raka, raka, nami lo kasha. There's no problem there too, because if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, then you don't have a problem of bizoyan hamelach. Efshik review, don't review that. Oh, you may be tefillah, but he's not in la rokor. Sometimes it happens that you've got to get rid of some spit in your mouth. What are you going to do? Mavliyo b'talitos. What you can do is if you don't have a handkerchief, you could be mavliyayit in something that you're wearing. If your talis is a good talis, so fine, use your afakasuto. Now, afakasuto generally is understood by Rashi over to mean a turban, which would come around from the front and the lower part would extend downwards and people use it to wipe their mouths and so on. So you could do that. And others, when the Oroch learns that Afakosuto is actually an underclothing. And it was, it would extend, it was like a underwear that would be held on by brace, what do you call it, a suspender type of thing. You know, that old-fashioned underclothing that they have in the Old West, you know. So that type of thing is Afakosuto. Yeah, like drawers, yeah, except with a thing. So you stick your hand in something that isn't exposed, and you can use it to wipe the spit from your mouth. Now, the problem is that Ravina was once sitting behind Ravashi and at the spit, and his dami lo rok, patke le'achore. So what he did was, is he threw it behind him, and of course, Ravina didn't think too much of that. On my way, so he asked Ravashi, lo sovel amayla, other of you, them have liu b'farkasuto. I mean, isn't there a locha that you're supposed to use your handkerchief or something? I'm a yafei nefesh, my friend. I don't do that kind of thing. I'm too classy for that. Sorry.
This is classier.
Well, it's not a question of class. I'm not going to have it on my garden. I mean, that's it. It could be to the side. He couldn't have thrown it behind him if it would have hit the guy behind him anyway. So clearly it's talking about this. Look, you can't tell a person who just can't get his tefillah together unless he can hear the words. So if he can't be b'chaveh his lev without hearing what he's saying, then it's mutar. But of course, not at anyone else's cost. If you're davening alone, it's mutar. I know the afin. I mean, see, what are you going to say? I need to concentrate. Well, thank you very much. So do we. So also lemitra tzibora, and to do such a thing for your tefillah and be matrin other people is of course awesome.
It's
not well done. Now, Rabbi Abba wanted very much to make Aliyah. And because of that, he would never expose himself to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was dead set against making Aliyah. He held that it was an issur d'oraisa to leave Bavel to go. So therefore, Rabbi Abba didn't want to get that sock, so he avoided Rabbi Yehuda like the plague. And it was a big problem because Rabbi Yehuda gave some good drushes. He wanted to hear what he had to say. He had a problem getting hold of the cassette recordings. And so, what was Rabbi Yehuda's sheet? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, kol ha'olemi bavel eretz Yisrael, over ba'ase, shemra bavela yuvo, v'shama yiyu. It says, b'feresh in the pasuk, v'shama yiyu. They're meant to stay there. So if that's the case, how can you just walk away? So it must be that it's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You have to wait. Ad yom pukdiot. You have to wait till the day of the pekida. No mashia.
That's
what Rabbi Yosef was in the rabbi congestion. That's my review. Omar Yizel Eshba Mina Milsa Vada. Vahadar Ofik. Okay, you know, just before I leave, like one last visit to the base medrash. When Rabbi Yosef is giving shir, I'm not going to give him a chance to say anything to me. So let me hear one thing from the base vada, and then I'll go. So Odo Ashkel Tana, the Ketanik Amir Rabbi Yosef. He comes in, and there's this Tana that's saying over Allah's front of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says to Rabbi Yehuda, "Haya omeid batvilah v'nitatej, mamtin achichaleh haruach." Obviously, over here, if there's bad smell, we ain't talking about sneezing. V'chozeru mitpalel, and then he continues davening. Now, igeri amri, and he said over another lashon, "Haya omeid batvilah ubikesh lehitatej." How about if he feels he just can't control it? Marchik la'achorav arba amot umitatej, umamtin achichaleh haruach. So it's best to walk back and get away from the area where you were davening. And then, when you're able to daven again, go forward and apologize. And say, Ribbono shel Olam, Yitzartanu nikavim nikavim chalulim chalulim, galui v'yadua lefanecha cherpatenu chlimatenu. What are we? A bunch of worms. Even b'chayenu, b'akritenu rimavet oleya. And then after, being as you've already mafsik the tefila, so you're mafsik to say this, and after the apology, matchim imakom shepasach. Omar, take out the word lay, obviously he wasn't talking to Rabbi Yehuda. Omar, he said to himself, and I was, wow, that is something that is really good to know. You know, there are times when the room is so cold. You ain't going to stick that head out of the room. If you'll say Kriyat Shema, your words will freeze. So what do you do under those circumstances? Chotzeitz betalito, because here, what's your problem? Again, Norm is asleep without any clothing. Now you're going to have your head, basically, in the same area that your genitals are. So that's called a violation of Lo Yireh B'char Hervat Davar, because you can see Hervat Davar. So what do you do? Chotzeitz betalito al tzavaro. So take some piece of clothing or something, put it around your neck, So that way you separate between your eyes and your genitals. The Kari Krishna, others hold, no, that won't be good enough. You have to separate over your heart. Because otherwise, your lave is, so to speak, ro'e. So Tanakama, what about according to Tanakama? How can you just put something around your neck? What good is that? Hare libo ro'e ta'erva. Obviously, the Tanakama holds. Kasava ro'e libo ro'e ta'erva. Mutar. Om Rebbe Nam Rebbe Yochanan. Hayam mehalek b'mevo'ot ha'matunafot. How about if you're walking down alleyways where there are disgusting things, smelly things on the road? So miniach yado al pi, if you should cover your mouth and say kriyat shema with your mouth covered. Amalei Rav Chista, Elohim, Mamrali Rav Yochanan Fumei lo tzadkin alei. You know, you're quoting Rav Yochanan. I swear to God, if he would have said it to me, I would have totally ignored it. Who's going to follow a psak like that to say kriyat shema in a place like that? Ikedeyam Yomer Rav Barbachanam Rav Yeshuv and Levi. The other thing of Maisa was that it was Rabbi Bar Chana quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and it was to that that Rabbi Chista says, I swear to God, the girsa over here is that it's a play on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The other girsa is, Im Amar li Yoshua ben Nun befume. I don't forget about you, this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. If Yoshua ben Nun had told me that that's halacha, I wouldn't have listened to him. Well, it's like, you know, like, by the way, I mean, would anybody have said that? Would Ravuna have claimed that Rav Yochanan held it to say Kriyat Shema in a dirty alleyway? But Ravuna himself paskins. Ravuna, Tamit Chacham Asur Olam Otam Bokam Adin Ovid. Forget about saying Kriyat Shema. If you're Talmud Chokhmah, you're not even allowed to be in a place like that. Because wherever you're going, you're always thinking in Torah. So how can you be Maher Torah in a place that smells or has disgusting things in it? The fish if Shiloh Lamod believe your Torah. The Talmud Chacham simply cannot get the Torah out of his mind. Lokasha. He said, you're not allowed to stand there. Omeid. Fine. Omeid, we understand as well, sir. But he was talking about you're walking along the street. You're saying Kriyat Shema. Now you walk along a place where it smells. What do you do? Stop? Or do you put your hand over your nose and mouth and just say things to yourself? So it's not necessarily a steering. But, okay, fine, you could say that in Ravuna, but Ravuna was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan have said that you should say Kriyat Shema in a Mavo Mitunav, Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Achi? If Omer Rabba Barakon, Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Makom, Mutar La'aher B'divrei Torah, Chutz Mi Beit HaMerchatz, Umi Beit HaKisei. You can't think about learning in a bathroom or in a toilet room. V'chitei Ba'okanami, maybe you'll try to say, well, but it means the same answer. Kan Bo Meiz, Kan Bo Ma'alei. What in the halak? It means, yeah, you, if you're walking through, you can. No, that's not true. Because Rabbi Avu was actually behind Rabbi Yochanan when they were walking. And Rabbi Yochanan was reading Kriyat Shema. And when he got to a dirty place in the Mavoi, he stopped reading Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Avu. And afterwards, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, where do I go back to? The place where I stopped? Or do I have to start over again? On my lane, Rabbi Yochanan said, look, Im Shahita Kadei Ligmar Kula, if you stopped long enough that you could have finished the whole Kriyat Shema, so then you're going to have to start over again. But if not, then you can go back to where we were. So doesn't that show that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you must be mopsing, and that you might have to start even over again if the alleyway, the Mokum and the Tunif goes on long enough? And that's walking, not standing. So what are you going to do now? Well, now, wait a minute. Rabbi Yochanan never said that that's his personal opinion. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avu, who had stopped reading. That was his own decision, right? He stopped reading, Rabbi Avu. Then he asked Rabbi Yochanan, look, I stopped saying Kriyat Shema because it was a Mavo Metunah. Do I start from where I left? So what Rabbi Yochanan might have been saying was, look, L'didi lo sfirli, I don't hold you should have stopped. But you hold you should have stopped. Okay, so L'didkad sfir lecha, and you're asking me how long that stop, what's the significance of the stop? Im shahita kedei ligmor kula chazor l'rosh. If you stop long enough to go back to the beginning, I never told you to stop though. So in other words, we don't have over here necessarily a raya that Rabbi Yochanan himself held that it was necessary to stop in walking through the Makom HaMetunah. So you can't ask the kasha from Ravuna's quarter, Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, gentlemen, I think we should better stop here before we all go out. Mm-hmm.